Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, where the steers are queer. Got it? What a twist. That's right, the steers are queer, so get used to it. They ain't going nowhere. They ain't no going nowhere again. The steers, they get herded to this part of Texas to be safe. Safe from the straight steers. The straight steers. Straight steers. Straight up steers, yo. It sounds like a sports team to me. The queer steers. That would be a good gay football team. The queer steers. Really strike fear into the hearts of all these straight football players. Here they come on the field. Better watch your butts. Everything in football is about some guy behind you. What are you going to do now? Your move, straight man. All right. Anyway, what's going on in my life? More sleep deprivation, more baby time, more bullshit, more this, more that, more economic fucking anxiety. What's happening with you? Me? I'm having an interesting time watching so-called trends occur on the internet. How many people actually care about the embarrassing boyfriend trend that Vogue keeps trying to push? Vogue magazine? Ever heard of it? Vogue magazine! Trying to push a embarrassing boyfriend, what do they call it, narrative in their journey to derange straight guys or something. I don't know. Republicans? Eh. I'm not sure what they're up to. But that's been going. You see it on TikTok, I guess. TikTok is a good outlet for high fashion cultural commentary, which is basically bimbo talk. You want to hear some bimbo talk? Get to TikTok with you. TikTok. TikTok, bimbos on TikTok, bimbos. They are bimbos, and bimbos are fun. That's the thing. The one thing that conservative guys, you know, it's a lot of guys don't have that their opposition, their liberal opposition has always. Is more fun, always more fun, more intriguing, more giggly, more mischievous, more alluring, more just, and it's just empty, vapid, devoid of character. It's candy. It's the left. They have it because they have all the most fun people on their side. So that is single-handedly kept more conservative or traditionalist movements at bay is that they're not fun. They're not fun. Not fun, sorry. The left has all the fun people. That's undeniable. Nobody's fun on the other side for some. They're just goobers. They're fun. They're compelling. They make, because they're actually talking about real ideas, and but their conclusions are always predictable and uninspiring because you can't really have fun with just like hard rock, granite, bedrock reality. You can't. It's not fun. It's funner to just play in the surf like a dolphin. And the left has all those. They got the gays. They got the woman, the young woman. They got gays. They got young women, and they have black people. Those are all the three porn categories that conservatives check out. Even conservatives find them more fun than their own vanilla ass porn. So, you know, it's just never gonna, it's gonna be a stalemate forever because it's gonna be, it's always, this country's always gonna be fun versus reality. Nobody wants reality. The hell out of here with that bullshit. Reality sucks. The reality is nobody can own a home. And we're drowning in debt. Fuck that. Get on TikTok. Do a little dance. What's going on in the news? We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to do a little game of State of the Union type shit. We're going to say what's in and what's out and kind of get a gauge on where we're headed as a result. So what's in and what's out based on news headlines? Let's see. First, what's out? Out is the New York City club formerly known as the Limelight, which was a very edgy, controversial, boundary-pushing nightclub that was open for a long time in a downtown Manhattan area, in the Village, in the Westville, that was infamously opened inside of a former church and notoriously attracted lots of celebrities and fashion icons and tastemakers. Andy Warhol, I think Drew Barrymore celebrated a birthday there one time. Lots of stuff happened there because, as it does with cocaine, somebody gets murdered by, you know, accident. Whoopsie daisy. That's what happens when you have too much fun. That's the reason why a conservative movement can even exist here in the first place, because fun is amazing. It's fun. But fun quickly gets out of hand, especially because fun always is accompanied by some kind of narcotic. And narcotics put you in a real tizzy of fun. So fun that it's fun to just shank somebody in the neck 50 times in a fit of fun rage. So much fun. Fun, 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 fun. So that's the problem with fun. It's like the Bacchae. It's like Euripides is the Bacchae. Fun is amazing. It always involves naked women somehow. Fun, there we go. Giggling naked women in the woods, in the wilderness, like the Limelight. And a wilderness of cocaine and power. And so it always then starts to get scary. And that's the thing that conservatives always point out. And they're right. But so? That's not fun. Let's have fun. So anyway, the Limelight. That's an example of a period of New York and of the United States, its culture and the cultural narrative that doesn't exist anymore. Our journey, if you will. So it's just not here anymore, but it was. It's a good footprint of what was. And you can see those archives in the West Village the exhibit on view through November 23rd. Nobody's paying me to say this, by the way. I just think it's really cool. It's a book, actually. So there's a book that came out. And then there's I think the Limelight itself might be a museum, or is it just a clothing store now? I like how it was so controversial to open up a nightclub and do cocaine in a former church, but commerce, a clothing store, the thing that Jesus Christ himself literally got crucified for being mad about, flipping tables over, watching people count money and buy shit in the church. He was furious. He started throwing shit everywhere and screaming about, this is my dad's house. I mean, you know how those kind of guys are. They're dads. They're Nepo. Jesus was like the original Nepo baby. And so he's mad, right? And then he got mad at that. If Jesus walked into the Limelight Club and people are just snorting lines of coke and just having almost like a religious revival of pure fun, pure revelry, just getting it out of their, that's almost spiritual ecstasy. I bet he would have popped a molly and he would have joined in. I don't think That's the kind of thing that Jesus would be against. Because it's authentic. They're your authentic coked out self. But buying Uniqlo in a former church, that's evil. That's satanic, if you want to know my opinion on that. So, I don't know. Oh, I guess you could just see the archives on a website called Left Bank. So there you go. Yeah, go check that out. That's pretty cool. The Limelight. Very interesting period of New York history. You should check it out. But that's out. It's gone. And where do the tastemakers go now? Where do they do? What do they? Where are they? Where are they? I don't know. Let's press on and see if we could figure it out today in this episode. Anyway, what else is out? What is out? The Limelight's out. That's no longer relevant. The penny is out. The U.S. Mint pressed its final pennies in Philadelphia yesterday. In February, Trump ordered the penny's death, citing rising production costs. Yeah, it takes 4 cents to make a penny. It's you're spending 4 cents on nothing, on air, on bullshit, on nothing, on art. It's basically art. The penny became the world's smallest statue. That's it. That's all it is. It's a little tiny. It's the world's tiniest monument to the idea of this country, to Abraham Lincoln and everything that surrounds that. 4 score and 7 years ago and all that good stuff. And that's interesting because it seems like everything that Abraham Lincoln stood for, it does seem to be going by the wayside. He was a teacher. Nobody here can read anymore or do math. We're stupid. So value of education, gone. Slavery, all of our phones are made with slavery, so we don't care about that anymore. Unification, unity of the North and South. Nobody gives a shit about that anymore. We're headed into a new civil war. Anything else? Am I missing something? Yeah, it's good that the penny is gone. Because everything that Abraham Lincoln stood for in people's minds, whether or not he actually represented those ideas in his life, I'm not saying that. Let's separate the figure from the man, right? And just what he represents to people in short form, historically. Those things are gone. Those things are leaving. So we don't need the penny. The penny was useless for so long, and I don't think we realize that it's like the values of the person that penny has printed on its face is gone. It also is gone. It's worth just as much as a penny, which is worthless. A button off your shirt is worth more than a penny. There was a period of time where, before the penny's death, I was pretty sure that if I had to pay for a bagel or something like that in New York City, I would be able to pull out my money. And if 1 cent was involved in the bill, that I could literally pull out some lint from my pocket, slap it on the counter, and they would be okay with that as much as if it were a penny. Nobody gives a shit about any of that stuff. And just like that, even reading and books, they're worthless too. Books are worth, good books, by the way, not porn books, which is what most people read now, not YA, actual books. There's never, the irony is that it's never been a better time to read the most valuable books ever ever recorded that are still in print and available to us. It's never been a better time to read them than right now. They are all dirt cheap. They're free. They're giving them away. People are using classical literature for firewood, for art projects, for you just to like hold up a corner of a table to keep it steady. nobody gives a fuck about any of the shit that the penny has to do with. So get rid of it. Get rid of it. It was getting depressing watching this little, the tiniest statue ever created. That's the penny. That's all it is now. It was an art project after a while. It was just an exercise in futility to print them out. And frankly, really just kept reminding me of how bad inflation must have gotten, that a penny is worth less. A penny is worth less than a safety pin in my pocket, and then a rock off the ground. You could sell rocks on Amazon. You can sell a rock for more than a penny on Amazon if you bundle them up into a netted bag and paint it or perfume it or not, or just sell it as a substrate for a fish tank. Each rock would cost more than a penny. So rocks that you can pick up off the ground, right, which Palestinian children do every day trying to defend their tribe, their people. That's worth more than a penny. More than a penny. So bye-bye, penny, because it's too painful to keep you around, because it reminds people of good things that are no longer. Goodbye. You should save some pennies, though, because they'll probably be valuable at some point. Let's see. Billions of pennies remain in circulation and will stay legal tender. Well, that's nice. The half cent was the last U.S. coin discontinued in 1857. Look at that. We had a half cent. Who was on the face of the half cent? Huh? Who was on the face? Let's see. Who was on the face of the half cent? USA. ChatGPT. Babidi babidi boobidi boom. Boobidi boobidi babidi boo. Oh, Lady Liberty. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you see, they got rid of, in 1857, isn't that just 8 years prior to the ending of slavery? They took away Lady Liberty. They took it away. Isn't that interesting? How do these things just kind of happen like that? I don't think there's a conspiracy around this, by the way. I just think it's kind of an interesting coincidence. Wow. Lady Liberty is gone. Once we released the slaves in the United States, they did it, and Lady Liberty was already on her way out at that point. I wonder if there's some kind of cosmic significance of that. Lady Liberty, goodbye. Maybe because liberty, you can only really value liberty if there is slavery. It's kind of like, this is how we walk around in the United States, in Western developed countries. We appreciate our privilege. We talk about it all the time, to the point where you kind of want to punch people in the face about it. Anybody. It doesn't even have to be the person talking about their privilege. It's just the person to your left. Just sock them right in the nose just to get out the tension from having to hear that cringing all the time. Privilege, 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 privilege. Privilege. Yeah, it's interesting. We talk about privilege here a ton because we think about, if you think about it, this, our privilege basically comes about as a result of the enslavement, the impoverishment, the serfdom, the indentured servitude, the disenfranchisement of the people in other parts of the world that create all the goods and services that we enjoy as a result of privilege. And so if those people were to be liberated somehow economically, we would probably stop talking about privilege. We would stop it. We would stop altogether. It would be uninteresting because there's something about enjoying something at somebody else's expense that makes it cool, it's like cooler. Isn't that something? I love it. Planned Parenthood. Like the way people, like there's BookTok, there's BookTube, there's like this renaissance of supposed like literacy, but they're reading porn. They're mostly just reading porn. The equivalent of romance novels and stuff, which, by the way, has its place in culture and enjoyment and entertainment because it's just desire, right? That's fine. Cool. Thanks, ContraPoints, for bringing that to my attention. I don't know, like last year, that idea. But at the same time, we're celebrating literacy at a point where people are reading less than ever. You see what I'm saying? That's the thing about, it's about people, it's about societies, it's about, anytime something is described a lot as something, you can bet your bejesus, you can bet your ass that it's the opposite thing. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Like when a person complains about having to hating people relying on them, but then they always put themselves in positions where people rely on them. You start to notice, you know what I mean? It's like little things like that. It's like people's personalities start to, people are just, the only way to get, I think it could be because the only way to get away with being something that you know is not quite copacetic, that it's not good for you in a way, like it's not good for your personal growth, it's not good for your integrity, it doesn't reflect well on your character. The only way to get away with doing it anyway is to put yourself out as somebody who is doing the opposite, who is working towards the opposite, so that you can always make it like this struggle, and then that makes you virtuous. That's a person's personal like virtue delusion. The thing that you're struggling against makes you feel like you're heroic, but really you're pretending that you're drowning in a shallow pool, right? You got to just stand up, look around, and realize that you're being foolish. Foolish, foolish, like me. I'm guilty of that shit. My personal shit. I'll tell you a little bit. I'll give you a little taste into this darkness. Basically, you know, I'm a very hands-off person. I tend to be very hands-off with my life. I'm very aloof because I'm always in my head. Aloof, in my head. Very, very, very in my head. It's where all my ideas come from, all my thoughts. I cherish them. But it's to the exclusion of me addressing, you know, real needs and responsibilities in my life. And so for a long time, I positioned myself in my head as somebody who is constantly being put upon to do things, when all I want to do is sit down and think about and, you know, figure things out. So then, you know, it just makes it that everybody else is an enemy of my dream of just, I don't know, staring out a window with a fucking cup of tea like a basic bitch and just like dreaming, daydreaming out the window, like in one of those commercials with the lady with the sweater sleeves kind of over her fingers holding the cup of tea, looking out on a winter wonderland. And that made me seem like a good person to myself, but it's delusional, right? I just relinquished control over my life, you know, based on people's plans with me, so that I could then sit there and stew about it like they were doing something to me. Nobody's doing anything, right? Instead of just being more proactive about, let's say, if I want to go sit and think, go do that shit. Go do it. Do it, right? And that's just one of the many ways that, you know, I realized I was just deluded about who I am and what I'm really doing with myself. And there's other shit, you know, I don't really want to make this a therapy session, but I don't know if you can relate to that. But, you know, people do that. And that's one of my things. So it's just, you know, humans, we just walk around. We walk around deluded about, you know, living in a fantasy of bullshit. We call, and nowadays they call it your journey. What's your journey? But really, you're just living in a lie because it's convenient. So you want to hold yourself out as this person with this character that you really admire, but you're full of shit, you know? Sorry, I'm talking to myself right now. Anyway, so let's move on. What else is out? Planned Parenthood is out. It's not out yet. It's on its way out. In news, the largest abortion provider in the United States says it's committed to providing abortions, but that it's getting harder to fulfill that mission while also prioritizing essential services. At least 7 states have stepped in to help fill the financial gap, yet it's not nearly enough. Without a lifeline, CEO Alexis McGill Johnson warns, more closures are likely. The damage will only grow, she said, leaving patients with fewer places to turn for basic care. The warning came the same day an appeals court heard arguments in Planned Parenthood's fight to restore Medicaid reimbursements, a reminder that this battle is far from over. Yeah, that's not good. Planned Parenthood is for fucking broke people. Broke people need that shit. Look, you could say abortion is bad, and you know, you could say it's not. You could say it's just healthcare. Both of those positions leave out something. Arguably, I would say that the anti-abortion position, honestly, it's the more truthful position. If I'm being honest with myself and like how I think about that, abortion, yes, is it is the murder of something. It is. But my position on that also is, yeah, and so what did you say, Casey? What? It doesn't, what are you going to, so? What are you going to do about it? It's one of those things where if you crack down on that shit, all you're going to do, it's kind of like the war on drugs. It's because they're not going to do it the right way. They're going to crack down on it the worst possible way. The only people who are going to have to suffer are just the usual suspects, right? Everybody who's already fucking broke and in a shitty position anyway. They're just going to get shit on even more. Right? Rich people, they're going to still get abortions. They're just going to fly to fucking Milan to do it so that they can go shopping afterwards. It, you know, as a self-soothing mechanism. And nothing is really going to change other than, you know, broke people aren't going to be able to do it anymore. And so, I don't know. And also, you can't not have abortion. I really believe that. It's going to happen. You're never going to not have it. I think really you should just stop it after a certain trimester. Probably you should probably not do it pretty early on, but you should have some of it. Because at some point in the very, 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 very beginning, it's kind of like you're getting rid of the idea of a person rather than the person, it seems like. I mean, when life begins, it's kind of a philosophical question. And I think that's why it's so controversial, because there's no point where it stops and then now we have life. So you just have to make an arbitrary decision in a way. So you should probably err on the side of early, early rather than late, late. And as somebody who's had a baby, like from the moment it was there, it implanted and I knew I was pregnant. I mean, I gotta say, dude, it's alive. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know if you don't want to hear that, but it's alive. Go look. If you inseminate a chicken egg, you ever see those YouTube videos? You inseminate it and it implants, and that there's an implantation and then it starts to develop. The period of time before it's an actual little baby chickadee, it is still something in there that you would feel weird like stepping on. You know, you would feel weird if you squished it underneath your shoe. It would not feel good, as opposed to a regular egg. A regular egg, people throw eggs at buses for fun, but there is a point where it gets like veiny and weird, where you're like, okay, maybe I don't know what the hell is going on right now. Maybe not now. But I'm not sure this is a good thing to get rid of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is just going to get rid of the ability of broke ass bitches to get some health care. And I'm not even talking, I'm talking about irrespective of the abortion part. I'm talking about all the other crap. Although it is limited, because I did hit up a Planned Parenthood when I first got pregnant to get some shit done, because it was hard for me to get checked into a regular hospital, you know, because I started late, like 10 weeks or some shit. And they kind of didn't offer a lot. They give you condoms. Planned Parenthood gives you a lot of condoms and shit like that. But I don't know how, I'm not sure. I can't really say what this means in terms of, you know, what they're actually providing. But the idea of Planned Parenthood, that's going out. That's going out the window. No more Planning Parenthood. We want unplanned parenthoods. Why? I don't know, because the fertility rate here isn't as high as they want it to be, so they wanna kind of take out the guardrails, get some teens pregnant. And on that note, another thing that's out is Teen Vogue. Teen Vogue is out. Teen Vogue shut down and was absorbed by Vogue proper. A lot of stuff in Vogue is changing. They're pivoting. Everybody's pivoting. Everyone is starting to understand how, not that it's happening, but how to exist in this new economy, in this digital economy, in this post-industrial wasteland. And this is all happening prior to a real influx of AI slop. So I don't even know how much staying power this shit has, but this is where we're at. So Teen Vogue shutting down because they're pivoting to the internet. They're pivoting if you go to the Vogue Business Gen Z Summit in LA, which just happened recently, we can pull that up. Okay. Vogue is busy talking about how embarrassing it is to have a boyfriend. Because here's the thing. Two things have changed. One, clearly, if you want to access teenagers, they're not going to read a magazine anymore. If you want to access teenagers and underage children, you got to go online, just like every pedophile knows. Every pedophile is leaps and bounds ahead of the entertainment industry. In fact, if you wanted to know where to go to target children with your products, with your makeup and underwear and clothing and lifestyle brand bullshit, just go and see what the pedophiles are up to. You should hire, all of them should hire, as if they already don't, they kind of do, but not on purpose. But they should all have a pedophile on retainer for their advertising meetings to just get the basic gauge of where the kids at, where them kids at. Pedophiles they are relentless. They are bloodhounds in the pursuit of children. They go from the AOL chat rooms to online forums. They got to Reddit. They go to Comic-Con dressed as what? And they furries, and they're running around. They're just hot on the scent. These little foxy children that they keep chasing all over the place, okay? They are the ones you want to hire to know where the children are, right? They would study for the priesthood just to be able to get in a church, get to those goddamn kids for Sunday school. So they go to fucking Boy Scouts of America. They train to be scouts. They learn how to make a fire in the woods just to have little boys around them to hold at night when it gets cold in the woods. They go everywhere. During COVID, No children anywhere. What did they do? Just a bunch of pedophiles started being UPS drivers and just driving around, just cruising in the very neighborhoods where these children are. Pedophiles will go anywhere and do anything. They are inside the minds of these children. So Vogue should just, they should just hire some pedophiles. That's all I'm saying. Get those people some work. And keep them in a cage also. But get them some, help these people make a living so that they don't just sit there stewing, resenting society and deciding to touch kids anyway because, you know, nobody helps them. Vogue Business. See, this is the Vogue Business Gen Z Summit. Oh, shit, my computer's about to die. All right, let's get through this. This is Gen Z wants to have a conversation, not a lecture. That's one of the key takeaways from the Vogue Business How to Reach Gen Z in 2025 event last Wednesday. That's great. As speakers from creator Alex Earle to brand executives from Coach and Elf Beauty, see, they're just trying to explain how they're resonating with young people today. Produced in collaboration with Amazon Beauty, right? They're pivoting. They're starting to figure out this new hellscape of culture and how to who to connect with and what to do. The event took place in the West Hollywood, in the W Hollywood, sorry, against the backdrop of the LA skyline. Okay, relax. Relax, Vogue. This is Alex Earle speaking. My content is my online diary. If you watch my videos, you know me pretty well as a person, Earle told senior trends editor Lucy McGuire. Senior trends editor. Senior? You should be a senior if you're a trends editor. You should be a junior. What, some old bitch talking about trends? What does she know? Earle kicked off the day with a keynote interview in which she explained how vulnerability and relatability has led to her becoming one of the world's most prominent creators with millions of Instagram and TikTok followers and over 1.5 billion TikTok likes. Let me tell you, let's cut the bullshit. She has millions of followers and all this, because she is a young girl. Young, fun girl. Young, fun girl. Say it with me. That's okay. Or a young, fun gay. Like, this is what people who want to have fun are into. This is where they go. And that's kind of how we roll over here, okay? The creator leans into this authenticity, not just across her personal posts, but via her sponsored content for brands. Man, so fun. So authentic. Sponsored content for brands. She explained how one of her best performing branded posts was for a moisturizer where she applied face cream while sitting on her boyfriend's back as he did push-ups. Wow. Riveting. Very compelling content. Wow. Reaching millions of views. See, it's just fun. That's all people want, okay? Fun is her. Some people don't, you know, they can have fun not just with young girls, like Gucci Berry. I mean, watching Gucci Berry get kicked in the balls is amazing content. I think it's hilarious. I laugh my ass off when I see it. It's great. It's fun. It doesn't mean anything. But the problem with this is that this means everything when it comes to commerce. So, because they're trying to access these young girls. How do we get them? How do we get them? How do you look when partnering with Microsoft's AI assistant Copilot? You see what's happening here? Do you see the connections that are being made? The little spider web that's being built for the next generation of young idiots, young people, young marks in this carnival of that we call a culture. They are preparing, and every decade every generation it gets more sophisticated how they entrap people. Every decade they trap kids younger and faster, more and more. And now the phones already have them trapped. So it's like half the work is already done for them. So, you know, yeah. Gen Z broke the marketing funnel. What did they build instead? Look at that. She's pivoting to YouTube. Yeah, everybody's going to go fucking running to YouTube. Politicians are running to YouTube. They're all starting Gavin Newsom podcast. Everybody's starting a podcast now. 15 years too late. But to be relevant, but just in time to basically drown out anybody that you would actually find interesting, because they're going to have so much money to throw at YouTube ad revenue and everything that we're getting erased. That's basically what's happening. We're getting erased, and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay? And my computer died. So I guess that's the end of this. But that's what's out, and that's what's in. Okay? These are the things that are out. Vogue is pivoting to influencers. That's what's in right now. Okay? I can tell you off the top of my head what's in. We already know what's out. The Penny, Planned Parenthood, The Limelight, Teen Vogue, all of that shit, gone. What's in is Venezuela getting bombed by the U.S. You know, we got Israel, Palestine, we got Ukraine. Those are the big things, big ticket things. We got Trump is in office. We got the lines are starting to blur, basically, between politics and entertainment, and they're becoming one. Our commerce is becoming predatory. It's going to start targeting kids as soon as possible in the most sophisticated ways. Gen Z is trying to not do makeup, not do Botox, right? They're trying to do a more natural shit. And they're already trying to figure out ways in this Vogue summit to try to capture them with that anyway, to just drag them back in, kicking and screaming, back into the fold of consumerism, back into that vagina of consumer comfort where you're just nestled in it and just keep your eyes closed and just stay asleep. That's what's in. No more Lady Liberty. No more Abraham Lincoln. No more civil rights. No, okay? What we have now is Vogue. Boyfriends are embarrassing. Charlie Kirk, vigilante murderers. We have, conservatives becoming obnoxious. We got liberals becoming noxious. This is where we're headed. And Bitcoin, that's the new thing. Bitcoin is really a good replacement for the penny in terms of a concept in your head and what's relevant now. Bitcoin, right? It's just a mindless workflow. That's Bitcoin. That's the value now that we put in. That's what makes currency valuable is mindless block after block after block in a chain on a ledger to demonstrate work. What work? You know, just mining, right? And just stack them up endlessly until you reach the limit of Bitcoin, and that's it. That is value now. It's not liberty. It's not the end of the Civil War. It's not brotherhood. It's not Planned Parenthood. It's not anything like that. It's not even really fun, because the fun has gotten. The fun is now being flattened and made into like bland platitudes and kind of a vacant, sterile nothingness of inertia. And that's what I'm saying. Whenever people say that something is something a lot, it's usually the opposite, because you don't hear, the only thing you hear is just my journey. And that's when, in a moment in time when it feels like we are not moving and we haven't moved in a while, right? Growth in a time where people, the illiteracy is going up, people are dumber, people have no narrative. You're given a narrative. There is no narrative. Like, narratives have been erased. There is no journey. You're not going anywhere. You're not becoming anything. You are staying right where you are with your VR headset. They don't even want you traveling anymore. They don't really want you to have money anymore. They want you to just, they want to be able to put you in a box, because now they can build boxes of socially engineered boxes, basically. And when I walk around now and I look and I see people are just heads down, like literally curled up around their phone as if they were in a box. Things are getting pretty creepy. And what we're saying is happening is probably the opposite of what's actually happening. There's no journey. There's no growth. There's no karma. There's no transcendence. There's no justice. There's no peace. There's just... goodbye.